AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kirch, no Craig Mish on Wednesdays during the NFL season. Look, Craig and I, we both love you. We don't know if we love you enough to be with you every single day, 5 days a week, so we each get our day off. So George is kind enough to spend some time with us. We love that for him. We got lots going on in the world of sports tonight. The 76ers and the Celtics play. Those are two teams that don't like each other very much. DeMarcus Cousins, I am very excited about this. I don't care. I always love to see DeMarcus Cousins in the NBA. I know he's not really that good anymore. I know that he's kind of a malcontent, but I am excited to see him make his season debut for Milwaukee. And our guy, Jerry Jones, says he expects Ezekiel Elliott to get a serious load versus the New Orleans Saints. That comes, 3 days after Mike McCarthy said on Sunday that they needed to start curtailing Zeke's workload a little bit because he was starting to wear down. Jalen Hurts is questionable for Sunday, bringing Gardner Minshew potentially into his first start of the season. However, I will note, Jalen Hurts was able to make it through the walkthrough portion of the Philadelphia Eagles practice today. I would imagine they really want him to play because with the NFC so congested, the Eagles can still realistically think that they can make the playoffs. But we got to go back. We got to go back to our Cowboys here, George. This is our show. You know, Brett doesn't want us to talk about the Cowboys. He wants us to talk more about Tevin Coleman and Zach Wilson, but we're going to talk about the Cowboys. I wish Jerry could just stop meddling. I wish he would just stay out of it. Like, why can he just stop? Can we stop with Jerry meddling with the coaching staff? It is so infuriating.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm on record. I've said it many times now through the years. I don't think the Cowboys win anything of value again until Jerry's gone. Because you put it, meddling's kind. All right. A lot of owners meddle. He goes way beyond meddle. Way beyond meddle. You just said it here. Right, he says one thing about Cooper. McCarthy says the exact opposite an hour later. He says one thing about Zeke. McCarthy says the exact opposite thing. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Who's running the team here? I know he owns the team. It's McCarthy runs the show here. At least you hope he does. Listen, I'm not a big McCarthy guy either. When I said earlier that I don't want Quinra or Moore running the team as being head coach, it's only because I want them concentrating on their coordinator jobs. I would rather have anybody else pretty much deciding, you know, what, are we going to go for it on fourth down? We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to challenge this, whatever. But I think that next guy up would have been Joe Philbin, and he's on the COVID list. So they may not have anybody other than Quinn. And I probably would have gone with Quinn over Moore as well. Moore has no experience there. Plus, this could be, I think Jerry also made this call, not McCarthy. This could also be Jerry saying, you know what? I might lose Moore as it is. You know, he might be a head coach somewhere next year. Let's not give anybody a preview. Maybe it's a great job. You know, everything works out. Everything he has the golden touch for everything he calls. So I think Jerry's like, I don't want to see that Thursday night. So I wouldn't surprise me if that's in it either. But the Cowboys are the Cowboys, right? They do this stuff year in and year out. It's the same story, same script every year. So that's why I don't know if anybody – how anybody can feel confident in the Cowboys tomorrow night. I know I don't. I don't know who's going to show up. I don't know how they're going to play. They have 12 guys on the COVID list. You know, Dak is a great compiler of numbers here, but when it really matters, he generally comes up small. Did that on Thanksgiving. Two chances to win the game. You know, both times he missed people who are wide open. You know, that just can't happen over and over again. So I do think Dallas wins tomorrow, but I'd be lying if I said I had a whole lot of confidence in it.
Yeah, I do feel a little bit more confident. Like, I just am not that down on them in general. Their biggest issue has just been they cannot function on offense when Cooper and Lamb are not healthy, right? That blowout loss to the Broncos, Lamb and Cooper were limping through that game. The loss to the Raiders, no Lamb, no Amari. We saw what happens. You know, it's just, it's because so much of what Kellen Moore's offense is predicated on is on the boundary wide receivers winning one-on-one or drawing double coverage, right? You know, drawing CeeDee, drawing the safety over the top, Amari drawing the safety over the top. So I am, I'm not really that worried about those guys. I wanted to, I'll spring this on you and hope you're ready for it. Wondering about what you think the San Francisco offense is going to look like without Deebo Samuel. Do we think we see, you know, even more running? Do we think we see Jeff Wilson Jr.? Do we think they play more two tight end? Do we think Ayuk is going to play as a runner, kind of the way Deebo has been playing as a runner? What do you imagine they look like this week without Deebo?
I don't think Ayuk is going to take the Deebo role. You know, that really got sprung on us out of nowhere as well. And that just takes a special player. And I don't think Ayuk's there yet. I think they need him to concentrate on his route running abilities, right? I do think they're going to run more, period. This is what San Fran does, and they do it very well. I think all these guys, they put at running back, you put them on most teams, they would do nothing. But with San Fran, that scheme, Shanahan does an excellent job with that. So, yeah, I think they will run the ball more. Not with Trey Sermon, because I don't know what would have happened to this guy this year. But I think Jeff Wilson is in play this week. I think that's their plan this week, to run the ball. But I also think they know Seattle, broken. They're broken. We don't need to do anything fancy. We don't need to throw the ball more because we don't want to make mistakes. Sacks, fumbles, interceptions. Run the ball. We'll beat this team. They're not going to score more than 17 points against us. I think that's their theory going in here. Yeah, that we don't need that. So I think the offense does change a little bit, but I don't think there's going to be somebody taking over the Deebo role. I can certainly see Kittle being more involved. Probably should be anyway. So in my mind, Kittle and the run game is what happens here.
Yeah, I really hope it's George Kittle. I've been kind of waiting all year, and he did kind of go through that explosion period the last couple weeks and then down game.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Only two targets against the Vikings. So I hope that you are right about that. Everyone, we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. Over the next hour of the show, we're going to talk some NBA. We're going to talk some MLB. And then, of course, we're going to get into fantasy or reality. We will see everyone back in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined in this segment by Brett Levy, because we are going to change our tune a little bit. We went deep into the NFL in hour one of the show. If you want to go back and watch our waiver wire segment, you can do that on demand at any time, but we are going to bring Brett Levy in here to discuss NBA DFS on FanDuel tonight. We have a pretty healthy 9-game slate, and we also shouldn't be dealing with a ton of injuries, you know, that we're not going to know before lock. We have some guys questionable for Miami in the backcourt in Jimmy Butler and Tyler Herro, who, by the way, Brett, Tyler Herro is way too young to be listed on the injury report with general soreness as a reason for him not to be playing. Let's get you to 25 before you're allowed to be listed on the injury report with general soreness. But yeah, take me through what we have in the backcourt tonight for NBA DFS on FanDuel.
Yeah, of course. And you know what, Davis? Don't be so hard on these guys. They work hard, and you know, they're training all off season. They're competing, you know, all the time. So we'll cut them a little slack. I know last year wasn't Tyler Harrow's best year, but, you know, still playing big minutes for the Miami Heat all season last year, coming out of the bubble as well. But I'm starting off with Malcolm Brogdon as my point guard. He's played really well, put up big numbers for the Pacers. They take on the Hawks tonight. Tyrese Maxey, my other point guard. Again, I just don't think his price has ever, like, you know, been at a point where I don't think he's worth it, averaging over 30 points a game in fantasy. Chris Middleton is a guy who any given night could be the best player on the floor, and to get that at, you know, $7,100 at the price point, Davis, I feel is a good risk. And Franz Wagner, one of the best rookies we've seen this year. He's playing for the Orlando Magic, so maybe not talked about as much, but Magic get Cole Anthony back. They lose Jalen Suggs, which is going to hurt them a little bit, but Wagner's been really good for this Magic team.
He has been very good. And the Magic, I think, have been a little bit better than people anticipated without Cole Anthony. He is going to be back, so that is, you know, it's something to note. He's not listed on the injury report. A couple of the other guys that I like here, I think, of course, you know, my guy, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think he's a little bit underpriced on FanDuel at 8,200. He looks kind of decent. And then on the other side of that game, I love using Kevin Porter Jr. and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander against each other in these games and just kind of hoping for that mano a mano, you know, just kind of dueling shots back and forth there. So I like those backcourt selections quite a bit, especially Tyrese Maxey, who I continue to be very high on right now, and should, by the way, see a boost in minutes here just because it's such a competitive game. So that's our backcourt selections. Let's go ahead and take a look at the front court on FanDuel tonight.
All right. Yeah, and Davis, one weird thing to note about, I guess, the Thunder-Rockets game is I want to say they played Tuesday night against each other, or maybe it was Monday night. So it's like a back-to-back situation. So definitely possible the Thunder come out with a better effort tonight against the Rockets, having just seen them. And then I'm going to be all over Paul George, Davis. He's pretty cheap tonight, and I just don't really get it. He's been a guy I've been pounding the drum on is should be in the top 3-4 in MVP voting. So Paul George has been sensational this year. Brandon Ingram has been playing pretty okay, I guess is how I'd describe it for the Pelicans. But he's been scoring the basketball, which is what we like to see, Davis. And again, he's going to be the leading scorer again tonight for New Orleans in a pretty good matchup, you know, against Dallas. Dallas isn't this defensive juggernaut. Marcus Morris rested his last game for the Clippers, so he'll be back tonight. Grant Williams has been playing a lot of good minutes for the Celtics. His fantasy numbers probably only going to get me like 20-25 fantasy points, but we'll take it for a $4,700 player. And then wanted to spend up on Jared Allen, who's just been an absolute monster all year, Davis. And look, I did not like what the Cavaliers did this offseason. I thought they had too many bigs on the roster. But Jared Allen and Mobley have played well. Lauri Markkanen's played okay. I still don't know if they have enough guard play, but Rubio's played above his expectations. So, look, Cleveland's just grinding away here and making us all look silly for saying they had too many bigs.
I know the Evan Mobley thing. You are so right. I am shocked by this, and it's not even that he is like this phenomenal 3-point shooter. You know, it's not like he's like Carmelo Anthony playing power forward or whatever and launching a bunch of corner threes. He's made over 30% of them, to be fair, and he is taking about 2 3-pointers per game. So he is giving you a little bit of floor spacing. You know, this is not like it's not like when the Utah Jazz used to play Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert together. It's a little bit different than that. And, you know, Mobley's effective field goal percentage is pretty strong. I think he does look like a big favorite for Rookie of the Year. And Jared Allen has basically been having the best season of his career, averaging 16 points and 11 rebounds. Like, he's been phenomenal. And the Cavaliers right now, after 21 games, they are 11-10, which is far ahead of what anyone, you know, would have had them at. I want to talk to you a little bit about Paul George here, though, while we're talking about the small forward position. I agree, his price way down at 8,600. I think he is pretty strong there. Do you think that his recent, you know, kind of dip in numbers, do you think that's real? Do you think there are, or basically, you know, do you think there are real reasons why he's been a little bit less effective the last few weeks? I mean, he had 12 points against Detroit, and also his rebounding numbers have came way down. You know, he was to start the season, he had a bunch of double doubles. Like, is Marcus Morris's presence in the lineup a reason for that? Like, what's going on with Paul George?
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's probably a few different factors. I know Terrence Mann missed a game or two in there, and then I'm sure a few other guys may have been in and out of the lineup. I think they're trying to get Ibaka back into the rotation still, so that's been a piece that's been added here over the last month. And look, I guess it's also possible, right? I believe in Paul George, so that could be a personal problem that I have to get over. But I think he's a really talented player, Davis. I think you're betting on the talent here. And look, you know, these are guys that can have bad streaks, bad games. We don't know what's going on in their personal life. So I bet he bounces back. I don't know if it will necessarily be tonight. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, tonight's the night he fixes it. But I will definitely say this. Paul George won't put up, you know, 2 horrible months, right? Maybe it'll be like a week right here or there. Maybe it'll be 2 weeks here or there. And then he'll come out, he'll have his 30-point game, and well, I'll be like, oh, he's fixed. And, you know, and then he'll go through another stretch where he's not hitting his jumper. Everyone was freaking out about Dame Lillard in the beginning of the season. Now the Blazers are winning. No one's really talking about it. McCollum was the leading scorer for them last night. So these truly great players figure it out, Davis.
Yeah, and I don't mean to disparage Paul George, a player who I am a big fan of. He, you know, put in an MVP caliber season in Oklahoma and did so while playing through, you know, these very painful shoulder injuries that he had to have off-season surgery on. And you know, I was just kind of thinking while you were talking about Paul George there, they're giving minutes to Serge Ibaka, they're giving minutes to Marcus Morris, Luke Kennard has re-entered the rotation. Like, are we going to get a Kawhi Leonard update? Like, is Woj going to tweet like, oh, Kawhi is, running around in the gym. Kawhi's playing 5-on-5. Kawhi's doing physical. Like, we've heard nothing on Kawhi. Give us
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
a Kawhi update, Woj, whenever it pleases you. So that is NBA tonight on FanDuel for NBA Daily Fantasy. In our next segment, we are going to take a look at Craig's beloved Miami Marlins and some other signings in Major League Baseball. See you guys back in a moment.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by my buddy, George Kurtz. We just wrapped up some NBA DFS talk, and we're going to dig into some baseball here in a moment after I remind everyone to follow at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. Free little app on your phone. Download it, create your account, follow us. You're going to be able to get injury news, updates, line movements. You're going to get highlights from the show, links to our podcast network. You're going to know when teams, when we're going live, and updates during the games as well. All very good stuff there at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Make sure that you are following them on Twitter. George, look, we just spent like an hour and a half talking about football. We got a little baseball chat in, or a little basketball chat in there. But don't forget, baseball, the hot stove season is theoretically happening, even if it's been dampened a little bit by talks of a labor lockout. And, our guy, Craig Mish, he's been real busy. He's been reporting on how busy Derek Jeter and the Miami Marlins have been. They sign, I'm pretty sure I'm not making this up, but I'm pretty sure Jacob Stallings was an all-star for the Pittsburgh Pirates. They signed Avisail Garcia away from the Milwaukee Brewers. One of my favorite guys. And then they do a trade with the Tampa Bay Rays to sign utility infielder Joey Wendell. He can basically back up any position. Very valuable for National League teams who still have to deal with the antiquated non-DH rule. Though I hope, as part of this labor lockout, I hope that that's a thing of the past and we get full-time DH in both leagues. So the new look Miami Marlins, do you like what they've done?
Well, yes and no. By the way, I can almost guarantee you there'll be no the pitcher will no longer be hitting in the National League once the new labor agreement comes apart. They would have gotten rid of it last year if the union would have agreed to expand the playoffs, but they didn't want to give up that nugget just from a DH alone here. So the DH is certainly coming in both leagues. As for the Marlins, I mean, when I say yes and no, sure, their offense was pathetic last year, so any kind of additions look good here. And I like Stallings, more of a defensive guy than an offensive guy, but he has some upward potential. Alfaro did not work out for this team. I expect him to be traded at some point. The lockout's happening in 10 and a half hours, so it is what it is there as far as that's concerned. So, they look better. Garcia, that's an overpay. This guy's a platoon guy. He mashes left-handed hitting, but righties, he's average at best. And guess who you face more in baseball? Many more righties than lefties here. So I think that's an issue there. I think they overpaid for him. I don't think they'll be happy with that contract. And Joey Wendell's a nice swing guy. You can put him everywhere, right? Super utility guy. So he's a nice player to have on your team. The Marlins' strength is their pitching. They have loads and loads of good, young pitching. Like I said, I've been telling Met fans that I know, man, you're not going to be happy facing this Marlins staff game after game after game because they're going to pound you with guys throwing 98, 100 miles an hour over and over again. Can they hit? They're better, not demonstrably better, though. I'm still waiting for that big move. I wonder this, Davis. They're not going to go out and sign one of these big-name free agents. They're not going to do that. Do they have to trade some of that good young pitching? You have to trade a Cabrera, trade an Alcantara. They're not going to trade Alcantara or Sanchez, whatever it might be, to go out and get good young hitting and get the right guy. You traded Yelich, you acquired Brinson, who everybody thought was going to be a star at that time. They released Brinson yesterday.
I know, and I told Craig on Twitter, we need to do like a whole segment on this show about the rise and fall of Lewis Brinson, because I feel like he's so emblematic of all of the things that are wrong with the Miami Marlins organization at the Major League level. So, of course, the MLB hot stove did not end there. The Detroit Tigers, I got to be honest, did not see this coming, did not see the Detroit Tigers as spenders happening this offseason. But if you think about it, it does kind of make sense. They have a bunch of young starting pitching. If two of their five young starting pitchers can end up being good. Well, I mean, they're all, you know, they're more than halfway to a good starting rotation. They've signed a couple of pitchers as well. They have Jonathan Scope in place as their high strikeout, home run hitting middle infielder. Then they add Javi Baez, who basically is just Jonathan Scope with a little bit more power and even more strikeouts. I like both of these guys for Fantasy George. These are the type of guys that I love for Fantasy. Low batting average, give me the power, give me the steals. You know, no steals with Scope, but the steals with Javi Baez. What do you think the Tigers infield is going to look like?
Yeah, I think with the Tigers, I wasn't surprised they were spending money. It was just a matter of whether they're going to do it this offseason or next offseason. When did they think they were going to be ready? The Detroit Tigers are not a small market team. People think they are. They are not. They have money. Yeah, they stripped down for a couple of years because they knew they were going to be terrible. That's the way it is in baseball nowadays. You strip down, you build back up here. So good for the Tigers for going for it. My question is, did they get the right guys? I have no problem with Scope. You know, low-end guy. No problem. He'll hit some home runs for you. Fine. He is what he is. If he's going to be your first baseman, I probably have more issues for it. You can't have him playing first base. You need more power from that position there. But like I said, that is what it is. You can't solve everything. Baez, this all comes down to me. Is he the player he was with the Mets or the Cubs? Because with the Cubs, he had the 11th commandment rule, right? Thou shalt not pass without being swung at. He swung at everything. All right, didn't matter where it was, he was swinging at it. With the Mets, he was more in control. He actually took some pitches, walked. Listen, it's an incredibly small walk rate, but still, it was more than what he'd ever done before. So if he can get that under control where he's not going to swing at everything, Tigers may have something here. They may have the superstar a lot of people thought Baez would become. But for the Tigers, it's all about what you mentioned there. That young pitching. Is it ready to come around?
Yep.
Scooble, Mize, Manning. And when do they bring up their young superstars? Torkelson and Riley Green. These guys are expected to be the real deal, especially Torkelson. Are they going to play the service time game? Will there be a service time game anymore once the new CBA is enacted? I don't know. Nobody knows. But if they play that game, especially in what I expect to be a shortened season, I don't think we're playing 162 next year. No, I don't. My over-under is May 15th as far as when baseball will begin. So that really could push it even further. Maybe these guys don't come until July then. Yeah, because they're playing this. If there is a service time game, could hurt the team here. But I like what the Tigers have done. Probably not so much on Erod. I'm not as high on him as everybody else. I don't think he's that kind of guy.
You know, I hope that for as long as I live, I never have to hear the word service time manipulation ever again. I hope that if anything else, my wish list would be one, DH in the National League forever and for always. It's never changing. It's there forever. And number two would be the elimination of service time stuff so that the best players are on the field. If Bobby Witt is ready to go, bring him up. If Torkelson's ready, bring him up. If Jared Kelenic's ready, bring him up. If Wander Franco's ready, bring him up. No more of having, you know, these young stars toiling away at AAA. Bring them up to the major league teams, get them ready, and, you know, let's go and do it. And then finally, the Seattle Mariners, a team I kind of always had a little bit of a soft spot for. I just like their jerseys. The jerseys are really good. So they trade for Adam Frazier. He was a National League All-Star who was traded to the San Diego Padres and then now is going to end up back in the AL. And then really interesting deal, they threw the bag at Robbie Ray. And I have a feeling, George, that this big, I think it's a 5 years, $112 million, if I recall correctly, winner of the AL Cy Young. I have a feeling that people don't like this deal for the Mariners. They think it's an overpay for 1 year of success. But I'm in. I am in on Robbie Ray. I think this is a fantastic signing. And I think the Mariners have the bones of a team that if they straighten out the bullpen a little bit, maybe add one more arm, because that they have so many soft tossers. And, you know, obviously soft tossers are a big problem in Major League Baseball today. I think they can win probably more of a wild card team since the Astros are in their division, but they are they're really strong.
The Mariners are an interesting team. They almost got a wild card last year, right? They were right in it in September, which is nobody saw coming there. And I think they'll be a wild card contender this year. I also think there'll be more wild card teams this year. I think baseball is going to have the same system football has. Seven teams make the playoffs. First team gets a bye. That's what I expect to come out of this once we do start playing again here. Now, I guess we'll start with Frazier here. Wasn't the player he was with the Pirates with the Padres. All right, yeah, and that doesn't surprise me. A guy who gets traded midseason, these guys are all human. You never know what's going on. They have families, got to get used to a new house, new apartment, whatever. You know, where am I going to go to eat? get my laundry done, this sort of thing. So I always go worry about that with players. And I'll be worried about him now again because not only is he going to a new team, but it's a new league. You know, so now I got to worry about this as well. So we'll see about Frazier here. But I'm a little dimmed on him about his prospects. Plus, he's playing in more pressure environment, right? No Pirates, no one cared. Everyone's going to care about the Mariners here. And I'm with you on Robbie Ray, by the way. I was very surprised, Dave, that he ended up going for less than Gausman. And the Blue Jays paid more for Gausman than they did for Ray. They knew what they had in Ray. And he pitched in the American League East. He pitched well. Gausman has failed in the American League East. Granted, that was at Baltimore. I fully understand that. But I'm probably keeping the hard-throwing left-hander and assuming he's gotten his walks under control here. So I was just surprised that Gausman got more money than Ray.
That is literally disgusting to me. Like the idea of paying Kevin Gausman, who, by the way, has already pitched in the AL East, and it was a disaster. Kevin Gausman in the AL East, he got shelled. He got shelled so hard he had to run away to the confines of AT&T out there in San Francisco. Kevin Gausman is not good enough to pitch in the AL East. He is going to give up like 1.9 home runs per nine. It's going to be – I do not understand that decision-making from the Toronto Blue Jays, and I think they will regret that decision to not give Robbie Ray this contract. I would much rather have Robbie Ray than Kevin Gausman. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. So we are going to go ahead and run into another break here on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, we are going to have Fantasy or Reality, everyone's favorite segment on broadcast television. If you missed any of today's show, we went over NBA DFS tonight on FanDuel. You can go back and watch that on demand. And we went over the waiver wire stuff at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. I think it's a very interesting week for the waiver wire stuff, so I would encourage you guys to go and check that out. And of course, Craig Mish right now, he's busy, he's beating the pavement, he's like that picture of Joe Dumars with the two cell phones getting you all the MLB news you need, and we'll continue to update you here in just a moment as we run into break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz, and we are going to get to Fantasy or Reality in just a moment. But I do have a question for my co-host, George Kurtz, who is going to be with us off and on throughout, probably the rest of time, because we all love our jobs so much. When, George, do you start getting really into fantasy baseball? When is it time to start doing the rankings? Get ready, because you scared me there saying that you don't think baseball gets the first pitch out until May or so. So when are we going to start really, really paying attention to fantasy baseball?
Yeah, because I don't think it's going to start till May. Won't change my preparation, right? I still have to go, still have to prepare as if it is going to start. And I don't know if the opening days will be late March or early April this year. So it'll be once the NFL regular season is over. You know, so you're talking January is when I'll start putting together some rankings here, rankings there, getting prepared for my drafts. I generally have a draft before the Super Bowl, so I'll have to worry about that. My home league is not until as late as possible, but I'll be in several leagues that'll draft way before spring training even starts, just the way it is. So like I said, once the regular season of the NFL is over, which I understand is later this year, we have an extra week plus the NFL started a week later. So I maybe have to start a little earlier than I normally would. But that's when I'll get into football. We'll get into baseball, I'm sorry, once the regular season for football is over.
Yeah, I'm about there with you. I need to look. We're going to be doing the show. I'm going to be there in the trenches, grinding with Craig every single day. So I will be joining you right about the end of the regular season for football. And now we are going to get into everyone's favorite segment on the show with our producer Brett Levy: Fantasy or Reality.
All right. Yeah, we got some good questions today, guys. So And I will start with you, George, for this one. Nate McKinnon returned to the Avalanche this week. The Avalanche currently sit fourth in the Central Division right now. So, George, I got to ask, and we'll start with you. The Avalanche will win the Central Division. Is this a fantasy or reality?
A hockey question. Brett, I love you. Yeah. Will they win the Central Division? Now, Brett, if you would have asked this question, what, 2 months ago before the season started, I would have told you, win the division. They're going to be winning the Stanley Cup. They are that good, and they're still that good. They get out to a slow start to the season. Nathan McKinnon will return tonight, or is expected to return tonight from injury. He's been off and on this season. They've had other injuries as well, some COVID problems here and there. Listen, I'm surprised they got off to a slow start, even without McKinnon. I'm still surprised. This team is loaded with talent. Rantanen, Landeskog, Makar, Toews, a good goaltender in Kemper, if he stays healthy. Always the question with Darcy Kemper there. They currently sit sixth in the Central Division. Minnesota, St. Louis, Nashville, Dallas, Winnipeg are all ahead of them. It's a rough division, all right, because most of those teams I think are good teams. Minnesota and St. Louis are good, tough teams. Nashville, not so much. I think they fall out of it. Dallas has a ton of stars. I don't say that the Dallas Stars, they have a ton of stars. Get it? Forget it. All right, I'll be here all week. Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. But they don't seem to play sometimes as well as those players. Still, I think they're a wild card team. Winnipeg, I think, is right there with Colorado. They should be much better than what they're doing right now. Most important for Colorado, they have 23 points. I said they're in sixth place, but they have four games in hand on Minnesota, St. Louis, Nashville, and Winnipeg. So they're really not in sixth place. They're more like second. Yes. At the end of the season, Colorado Avalanche are the finished. They win the Central Division and are definite Stanley Cup contenders. I think they get to the Stanley Cup this year.
Well, I very much hope you're right. I am, as viewers, regular viewers of the show will know, I am sort of a lapsed fan I'm not a lapsed fan of the Colorado Avalanche. I just have, George, I got a busy life, right? I got stuff I got to do. I got to do this show. I got to make sure the fantasy football stuff is always good to go. We got to do baseball. We got to do basketball. So I very much hope this is true. And certainly if you were judging them amongst, you know, just who has the most raw talent at the top, which tends to be decisive in all sports. You know, the guys with the absolute best players, that top line in Colorado. I mean, George would know a little bit better than I would, but it's got to be close to the best top line in hockey. You know, if not definitely the best. So I'm going to say we're getting McKinnon back. Landeskog's good to go. They're all good to go. I'm going to say reality. The Avalanche will, in fact, win the Central Division. But I definitely am. I'm just hoping that's true.
All right. Well, in college, Jake Fromm beat out Jacob Eason, who was an NFL draft pick, and Justin Fields, who was an NFL draft pick. And now he was picked up by the New York Giants. New York Giants, Daniel Jones, battling a neck strain. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Jacob Fromm will throw a pass for the New York Giants this season. Davis, is this a fantasy or reality?
You know what? I really hope not. Like, I hope that it does not come to this level that, you know, because right now we got to go through Mike Glennon. Right now is currently expected to be the starting quarterback for the Giants. And look, we all love to make fun of Gettleman. We all love to make fun of Joe Judge, right? It's just totally clueless running this team. It's hilarious that Jason Garrett got fired. It's even more hilarious that somehow Freddie Kitchens, he of the failed experiment in Cleveland, somehow ends up being the guy calling plays for the New York Giants. Like, it is funny. It is hilarious to look at the Giants and be like, wow, what an abject failure of a franchise. But it's way worse for our purposes, because what do we really care about? We care about fantasy football. And it's going to be way worse for us to have Jake Fromm throwing passes to Kenny Golladay, to throwing passes to Kadarius Toney, Evan Ingram. And look, we want Saquon Barkley. We're going to know better than to draft Saquon Barkley next year, but some of us are stuck looking at this guy with his red questionable tag on our fantasy football rosters right now. I would love for him to get it going a little bit. So I'm going to say that this is a fantasy. I'm going to say Daniel Jones recovers from this neck strain and he's able to come back and finish out the season for the New York Giants.
This is an interesting question, right? Fromm, they signed up the Buffalo Bills practice squad. Now the Giants are a mess, all right? If you would ask me the top two organizations that are going to make some big time changes during the offseason, we talked about it earlier. I think Seattle is one. I don't see Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson both being back, and it wouldn't shock me if they're both gone, along with the GM, by the way. And the Giants are right there with them. Guy Gettleman's got to be gone. I'd be shocked if he's still there. I don't know. Do they move on from Judge again? It's an embarrassment in some ways, because this would be another coach that they've hired that they've let go after 2 years. You know, but it doesn't seem to be working there. And is Daniel Jones even the quarterback next year? All right, got to make a decision on this guy. You know, can you admit the mistake? You took him sixth overall, and a lot of people mocked you. But what are you doing? Why are you taking him so early? Not working out. He's had more than enough time there. Not working out. Now, he doesn't have a season-ending injury. He's probably not going to play this week, although we're seeing some pushback on that now, that maybe he could play. He did report to practice today, but didn't do anything. All right, just pretty much was a bystander like any of us would be there. So we'll see here. Listen, we know Glennon's going to start this week. Is Fromm going to throw a pass? I mean, you're probably going to need an injury, right, when Glennon gets hurt, and it probably has to happen this week. Does Fromm even know anything of the playbook this week? How much can he possibly know? So I'm going to go with Davis here. I'm going to say this is a fantasy that Fromm does not throw a pass for the Giants this season. Like I said, I think it's a one-week thing for Daniel Jones, but I think we would need an injury this week. You know, Glennon has to get hurt this week. Could it happen? Sure. Am I going to bank on it? No. So, fantasy. He does not throw a pass for the Giants.
All right. Fair enough. And our last question is going to be about matzo ball soup. It is Hanukkah, and, you know, Craig and I are celebrating. So we got to ask, and George, we'll start with you for this one. You're from Long Island. You got to know a few Jewish guys out there who make matzo ball soup, or their wives make matzo ball soup. So, George, you have had matzo ball soup. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I actually know lots of Jewish. My best friend is Jewish. I wouldn't say he's a practicing. He practices, but hey.
I don't know if we're best friends, George. But we're good friends.
Well, we're not best friends anymore. Not anymore, Brett. You're a Mets fan. Right? Yeah, he's a Mets fan too. I've certainly heard matzo ball soup. I've never had it myself. It always comes down to make fun of myself here. I'm a pain in the neck when it comes to eating. All right, I eat very few things. If my wife came on the show, she was in the kitchen right now, she'd be like, yep, he is, because she's Filipino and I don't eat any of that. All right, I'm Irish. I'm eating meat and potatoes. Italian food, sure. But I'm that guy. Brett, Davis, and I, Craig, too, we all go to an Italian restaurant 100 times. I am ordering chicken parmesan 100 times. Okay, I'm happy. I know I'm going to like it. Even if it's bad chicken parm, I will like the chicken parm. So I will order it over and over again. I'm a boring eater. I know it. I don't put spices on any of my food. Okay, I don't like spices. Hot sauce, forget about it. I'll go through the roof. It'll go right through me. So, no, I've never had it. Like I said, I'm a pain in the neck. Would I try it? Probably not. I am that guy. I try nothing new. I'm a pain. I have no problem admitting I'm a pain. So there. No. Fantasy.
Reality, I have had matzo ball soup. Pretty good. I am not Jewish. I'm not a practicing Jew. But I find Judaism fascinating, and I have gone to synagogue a couple times with one of my buddies growing up who was Jewish, and just find the culture fascinating. It's weird, you know. I don't think that like Jewish culture in general is like known for their food, but I went to a Seder. All the food was really good. So can't complain about that. So definite reality for me, pretty into it. Would a hot ball or a hot soup when it gets cold and wintry outside, like name something better. You know, it's you're done working for the day. It's December. It's cold. It's raining outside. Like a hot bowl of soup.
Pizza
is just a huge treat. George, I'm bummed out on you. I don't mean to shame you for being a picky eater, but the chicken parm is not even a good go-to order at an Italian restaurant. The go-to order at an Italian restaurant, if you don't know, you got to go with the lasagna, because then you get to try out the restaurant's red sauce. You get to see, okay, do they know how to make the noodles? Is the ricotta good? Is the ground beef seasoned appropriately? Like the chicken parm is the go-to order. I have to say, I'm a little disappointed in you as a New Yorker.
I love lasagna, by the way. I just know even if they make the chicken parm bad, I'm going to like it. That's what it comes down to. You said it there. You're going to try lasagna, see how they are. Well, what if it's terrible? Now I got to order something else because I'm hungry. You know, so no, I generally don't do that. I like my chicken parm a lot. And I don't really have it as much as I probably would like to have it. But my stomach is grumbling now thinking about chicken parm, you know, and how you have to make it. I know John Butcher goes to ESPN. He's got a big thing on Twitter about chicken parm, even on the show, The Point. At the end of the show, on The Point, it was a hockey show, they all bring out chicken parm for Babuchagros, Tortorella, and I'm like, oh, man, it looks so good. Why can't I have that? Why can't Mike Cardona have chicken parm delivered to my house right now for the end of the show so I can have a nice meal at 2 p.m.? There's an idea for you, Mike.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't had lunch yet, and I don't have leftovers waiting for me when we get done. I'm going to have to go make something. I got one more work left for me to do today, and you got me thinking about chicken parm. You got me thinking about lasagna. You got me thinking about really good food. I might make a pot of chili to eat a little bit later on, which of course George would not eat because it's too spicy.
Nope.
And so George is not going to be invited over to my house for dinner a little bit later. Everyone, we are going to go ahead and wrap up Fantasy or Reality here on the show. We have one more segment left to do with you guys. We have the Sports Grid 60, which we will present to you in just a few moments after break. See you guys back in a few seconds. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. We are going to wrap our show up, despite the fact that I am, really disappointed in our friend George Kurtz. We'll find a way to march through the Sports Grid 60.
I don't know why you're disappointed. Give me a steak and I'm a happy guy. Steak and a potato. And I'm a happy guy here. All right, that's from the Sports Grid 60. All right, we all know by now that in 10 hours, there's going to be a lockout in Major League Baseball. All right, and no one should freak out about this right now, by the way. It doesn't matter, all right? It really doesn't matter. It's December 2nd. When you start to worry, it's February 1. That's when you start to worry. I'm not saying panic. You start to worry when it's February 1 because spring training's a couple of weeks behind. They still haven't done anything. And they won't do anything, by the way. Nothing's going to get done in December. They're not going to do anything over the holidays. It's not going to happen. January, what does Andrew Brandt like to say? Deadline spur action. Spring training is your first deadline. That date that the players are supposed to report, whatever date that is, I don't know offhand. February 16th, usually somewhere around there. So February 1 is when I start to worry. March 1 is when you start to panic. Because now they're missing games. It means money's being taken out of everybody, mainly the owner's pockets here. I do have May 50th as the over-under, but no reason to panic quite yet.
Well, I'm not looking forward to logging on to do this show every day with Craig and saying, hey, Craig, buddy, what are you hearing? What are you hearing? We got baseball. We got no baseball. We getting it in. We not getting it in. So I'm not particularly looking for that. My Sports Grid 60 for the day, it's about Jerry Jones. We talked about Jerry Jones already. And, not really anything specifically with him mingling with the team, but I just want to know this. I want to know that Jerry Jones has promised Kellen Moore the kingdom to keep him in the building, because there's probably going to be about four or five coaching openings this offseason, and they're all going to be whispering sweet nothings to Kellen Moore. We cannot have Kellen Moore leaving that building. He needs to be a Dallas Cowboy coach for life, basically. Can't have Lincoln Riley leaving me again. Everyone, thank you very much for watching the show. Thanks to Brett. Thanks to James at LTN. Thanks to George. We'll be back tomorrow, bright and early.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming, odds,
and more.
The others?
Nah.